When reading a passage of Scripture, it can sometimes be helpful to pay attention to a particular word or a phrase that captures your attention as you read it. Noticing and reflecting on this word can be a fruitful endeavor. In doing so with today's passage from the Gospel according to John, there was one word in particular that caught my attention. And that word is glory, and it's used several times. And we also see it used in the collect of the day and in our epistle. Glory is a word that we actually say a lot in church. In the daily office, which includes the services of morning prayer and evening prayer, we conclude the recitation or the chanting of the Psalms with glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. When we celebrate the Eucharist, we often sing the Gloria. That text is based on the song of the angels to the shepherds outside Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. And then some of our prayers ascribe glory to God and seek to glorify God's holy name. Glory is also a word that we hear used in settings outside the church. Glory is that praise, the honor that's bestowed on people, bestowed on an individual by other people. One can attain glory through an achievement that others recognize and that they celebrate. This kind of glory is understood as deserved by the person on whom it is bestowed. It has been earned by them. It is something that they earn through their achievements. And often this kind of glory grants those individuals specific honorifics, such as special treatment, financial gain, or media attention. This earthly glory is too often typically focused on the individual, and in fact feeds one's ego. In the Gospel according to John, the word glory means something quite different from that. Jesus is glorified because he certainly is worthy of praise and worship. And he certainly has achieved great things for us, and therefore we should praise and honor him. On this Sunday after Ascension Day, we celebrate Jesus taking our human flesh into heaven with him, where he reigns at the right hand of the Father. As our Savior, Jesus certainly is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of being glorified. But though glorified, Jesus does not use his glory for his own gain. His glory does not feed his ego. He does not embrace glory for his own sake. He rejects the pride and the vanity that is so often at the heart of human glory. The glory of Jesus, in fact, reflects the glory of the Father, and is then shared by Jesus with his followers. The glory of Jesus is not his alone. It is rooted in relationship. Our gospel today is from the last part of Jesus' farewell discourse that he said at the Last Supper. It's recorded in John's gospel. And this discourse concludes with a prayer that Jesus makes to the Father. And what we hear today is a portion of that prayer, a prayer that sometimes is called his high priestly prayer. In this prayer, we have the privilege of hearing Jesus using words that express his deep intimacy with the Father. In his prayer, Jesus makes intercession to the Father for humanity, praying just hours before he is betrayed, arrested, and crucified. His prayer expresses the strong hope he has for his disciples after he leaves them. The glory of Jesus is pointing not to himself, but to the glory of the Father. He and the Father are one, we hear. Jesus does not act on his own for himself alone. What he has done in his earthly life and ministry is the work that God has given him to do. And Jesus asked to be glorified with the glory he had before the world existed. At the very beginning of John's Gospel, in those beautiful words of the prologue, we're told that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word present at the creation of the world, the Word that comes to dwell as a human creature within the creation. After his resurrection, Jesus takes his human flesh with him, ascending bodily into heaven and returning to the glory that is his as the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, in his prayer, prays that we are one and that we know God. And knowing God is not just about intellectual knowledge. Rather, it is about being in relationship. We know God because we spend time with God in prayer and worship. Knowing God is having an experience of God. It is trusting God because we have a relationship with God. And ultimately, knowing God is most about love. At the Last Supper, as Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he gave them a new commandment. He commands them to love one another as he loves them. His own glory is found in love. His is a love defined by humble service and is seen most clearly when he is on the cross. The glory of Jesus is expressed in loving without reserve and without counting the cost. On the cross, Jesus loves so deeply, he does not resist those who kill him. He doesn't run from his suffering. He doesn't fight his persecutors. Even as he is dying, he continues to love, forgiving those who crucify him. To know the Father and the Son is to know the truth that God is love. Love is not only an attribute of God, it is in fact the very identity of God. God is love. Through baptism, we are incorporated into that identity of God. We literally put on Christ, taking Christ as our own identity. Doing so, we participate in the divine love of God. We are defined and we are identified by the love of God that forms and shapes and holds us. The glory of Jesus, that glory that he shares with the Father, he also shares with us. And it is the glory of living by love. This love does not seek its own gain. It does not consider one person more important than another. This love excludes no one. This is love not predicated on emotion, on how we feel toward another person. It does not require reciprocity to be given. This love is given to all, not only to those who return it. It is love given simply because all people are children of God. It is love freely given because God freely bestows it on us. This is love that regards ourselves and others through the selfless, emptying, divine love of God made visible in Jesus. Though Jesus ascends into heaven and is no longer physically present with us, his love continues to abide with us. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with each one of us. The Holy Spirit brings us into all truth, keeping alive the message and the call of Jesus in our hearts. The Spirit leads us in this way of love, showing us how we are to live the love of Jesus, how we are to make him known in our world through our own words and deeds. Through the Spirit, we remain one with Jesus. We are connected to him. And by the Spirit, we enter into the divine life of the Trinity. In this divine life, we share, even now, in eternal life. Though we live here on earth, eternal life is a present reality. It's a reality for those who are one with Jesus. His followers are called to make the love of eternity real and known now here in this place. In our lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard the account of Jesus ascending into heaven. After Jesus is taken from his disciples, suddenly two men in white robes appear, and they ask why they stand looking up into heaven. After being asked this, the disciples return to the city and devote themselves to prayer until the descent of the Holy Spirit 10 days later. Like those disciples standing gazing up into heaven, we also must not stand still looking up into heaven. We are called to turn our gaze outward. In looking around, we can see the world. We can observe those places we are called to go in the name of God's love. We are sent by Jesus to make heaven real here now on earth. We follow the Spirit to witness to God's love. The Spirit shows us those whom we are called to serve in love and gives us the gifts that we need to do the acts of love God calls us to undertake. There's been much talk this past week about churches in Rhode Island given permission to reopen. The governor made the surprise announcement that churches are able to reopen beginning on May 30th. This is at least a month earlier than was stated in the original reopening plan. And while we are all anxious to return to Sunday worship in person, to gather physically as a community in this place, I believe love also calls us to be cautious and to be intentional in how we proceed. Opening too soon can mean sickness and possibly death for others and for ourselves. Whether in person or virtually online, God is worshipped by us each week. God's name is praised and glorified by us. And I think it's important for us to wisely evaluate how soon we can safely gather physically in person. And it's also important to examine our motives in opening too soon. We must be certain that we act for the common good and the well-being of all people. We must be sure that we act from love. The glory of Jesus that he shares with us rests on the love that he has for us. The depths of his love are shown in his offering of the cross. And on the cross, Jesus puts aside his well-being and allows himself to be killed. He sacrifices his life for love. We too are called to live by that kind of love, by a love that is shown in offering ourselves in service to others. Since March 15th, our love has been lived by staying apart from one another, by sacrificing much for sure, but doing so for the well-being of all. There's no doubt that we live in a challenging time. We long to leave our homes and to experience the joy of being together in community. We desire to celebrate the Eucharist together in this place, to receive the precious body and blood of our Lord in the sacrament of the altar. Though our challenges are real and our longings are deep, I pray that we remain cautious and that we are always intentional, that we act from love of our neighbor. May all the decisions we make be based on our love of others and in service of the common good. In our epistle today, we are urged to cast all our anxiety on God because God cares for us. In everything we experience, in all the burdens we carry, God cares for us and God remains with us. God loves us always. Though we are a community kept apart in this time, the Spirit of God flows between and among us, uniting us even as we are apart. God will sustain us as we move through this difficult time now and in the weeks to come. And may we know that abiding presence of God with us. May we know that Jesus has not abandoned us, but abides with us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we are one with Jesus, and we are marked as his own for eternity. As his body in the world, may we be rooted in love of God. And may the glory of Jesus revealed in our humble, loving service shine through our lives and bring glory to God. By loving one another, we are witnesses to all of the power of God's love. And in this witness, God is glorified. Amen.